Lord, thank you for letting us be here this morning. We just hope that the message comes clear to someone, and just give us the strength to get through this. And Lord, and break my eyes that I can stay focused on the and just put the words in my mouth. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Somebody say something.
Amen.
Oh, okay. But at almost 60, my ears are going and everything else is falling apart too. So, well, good morning. And I titled this message, I guess, sort of like an old Ric Flair saying, if you know who Ric Flair is, you know, one of the old wrestlers is, if you're going to talk the talk, you got to be able to walk the walk.
Woo! Oh.
That's right. Yeah, I was on a walk with a guy from Walk to Emmaus, and he was probably the number two Ric Flair fan in the world, and the other one was his dad. And he gave a talk, and that's about what he did. The whole talk was woo, you know, the whole time. But it was hilarious, but it was a great talk. It was a great testimony. And well, I chose that. Because, you know, we all kind of, in our life, talk it up a little bit. And, you know, all through my life, you know, sports was a big thing as I was a kid. Now, when I was in high school, I played baseball, I wrestled football, and played church softball for, you know, Lord, until I was 50 years old. And I don't know how my knees survived it, but they did. But it makes me think back to an old game that I played back in the 1980s. I think it was 1982, right before I graduated high school in 83. I played for El Bethel United Methodist Church at the time. And Dean and his wife, you know, they went there for a while, for a long time, and you know, we had some good teams, but you know, back in that time, a lot of us played for other teams also. So I had a neighbor that played for Roba Presbyterian Church. So I started going to church there some, and went to LFL too, and you know, so I played for two teams, and it wasn't, you know, unfamiliar for guys to play for two or three teams, or travel ball, you know, tournaments and stuff like that. And but Roebuck Baptist Church, of course, is the big church over in Roebuck, right there at the railroad tracks. All my friends from the Dorman High School baseball team, some of them went there, some of them never went there, but they all got recruited to play there. And if you ever seen Roebuck Presbyterian Church, it's a smaller church than this. And so most of our teammates, or my teammates, were, you know, married men, 35, 40, 45 years old. And here we are playing 17 and 18 year olds. We have played them three times. And they never whooped us, but they always beat us. That just left a bad feeling in our, you know, in your mouth. If you ever played sports or you're very active, you know, very competitive. And I never forget putting my name on the college name. I think Shaylin C. He was a good ball player. Played college ball and everything. And he talked that talk all week long. We're going to whip y'all on Thursday night. Well, we're going to whip y'all good in heaven. And I'm thinking, not this year. So then I started talking the talk back, you know, trying to defend my team. And I'll never forget. It came down to the last inning, and I was in the dugout, didn't know how things were going to play out. Larry Baldwin got up, gets on base, gets on first base. E.L. Lutz gets up, hits a base hit, got a man on first, got a man on second. Marshall Morgan gets up, gets a base hit, got bases loaded. Seventh inning, which is like the ninth inning in baseball, you know, and want to play seven innings. And I thought, well, who's up next? Guy, Ernie, says, you are. I'm like, oh, God. So I get up, bases loaded. You know, and I talk smack all week long. So, you know, going to talk the talk, got to walk the walk. I get up there a couple pitches, and then finally I got my pitch coming in. I swung, hit that ball, and it was just safe. I took off around first, headed to second. It was still going. Went over Joey Justice's head, hits the fence, drops to the ground. Then I had to chug it off. Basically, I just had to turn it and run faster than I ever had in my life. Finally, boom, hit that right foot on the home plate, inside the park home run. But I had talked the talk that week, but I finally got to walk, as the Elder was told. Now, that was a highlight of my life. But, you know, I know it's not a highlight of yours. But I just use that as an example. But, you know, talking junk in sports is not talking the same way in our Christian life. You know, we can come to church, we can join the church, we can sit in the pew, but we need to get active. So, you know, get involved. And so that's kind of what we're going to be talking about today. And as Marlene read in James chapter 2, and particularly in verse 17, he talks about, you know, faith without works is dead, or in some versions, is alone. Now, faith comes first, but works is a part, is what I'm trying to say, but sorry about that. But, you know, it's a very important part, because faith without works, you know, it helps our faith grow, our good deeds. I got a little ahead of myself here. Now, like I was saying, you know, also, like, you know, I enjoyed sports, and, you know, later in my life, as I got an adult, I didn't play as much except for softball, but I always enjoyed watching Clemson play football and seeing, you know, other college teams play and everything. And one of the things in January, they always hold the NFL draft. And, you know, talking hype, and if you ever watch the NFL draft, you hear all these colleges, these young guys, these young players, you know, they always talk about how, what they're going to do. They're going to win a Super Bowl, or they're going to get the team to the playoffs. And they talk that hype up all the time. But, you know, there's some of these players that when they get to the pros, well, they don't live up to their standards. They talk all the hype, but they have personal problems. You know, some of them get into alcohol, they get into drugs, and they start living a different type of a life that destroys their career. And then these teams that have put so much money and invested so much time in them and everything, kind of see them, you know, just kind of fade to the back there, and they're just not productive for them at all, and they're just not cutting the mustard per se. Now, James talks about in chapter 2, like I said, you know, faith without works is dead. James says, and it's dead, and being alone, our fruit doesn't grow. And by saying, you know, our good deeds that we do for others is not shown, and our faith is just kind of stale. Faith without action is only hype. So we must live our Christian's life by demonstrating our faith through good works. So what do people see in your good deeds? And what are some of those good deeds? Those special acts of love and kindness that we show for others in our Christian life. As James is saying in chapter 2. I apologize this morning, my eyes, you know, y'all know I've had some problems with my eyes in the mornings. So I've kind of not lost my place, but I kind of have to use this a little bit because some of it kind of goes away from it a little bit. But you know, I'll leave that there. Our good deeds, are a demonstration of our faith. You know, and it's, what are we doing in our lives, you know, in our Christian mind? You got to get involved. If you're going to church, you know, get you a prayer buddy. Get you someone that you can pray with. Not just come to church on prayer night and pray with the group and everything, but, you know, some people are a little bit older. You know, you can't, you know, go out and help cut trees in the yard for somebody and do, but, you know, there's things that you can do. You know, we do a meal on Wednesday night. Maybe you can, you know, help do something like that. You know, we have school coming up the 21st and 25th. You can sponsor a child to help, be impactful, you know, and give them a chance to come to school and the Bible class and learn about Jesus. And that's a very impactful thing in that child's life, you know, later on. But, there's many things that we can do. But our good deeds demonstrate our faith. Because, you know, our good deeds, you know, if you go to a nursing home or you go to the hospital and visit someone, you know, all we're really wanting sometimes is just to talk to someone. And you don't know how much that means to someone. I know when I went and saw Marion when he had his knee replacement, then he followed up and came back and saw me, you know, when I was in the hospital. And good things like that. You know, in the Bible, in the book of Samuel, you know, King David, before he became King David, had a good friend, Jonathan. And, you know, and Jonathan later on had a child who was born lame. And but Jonathan, before he died, was very kind to David, who became King David. And his acts of love and acts of kindness, you know, carried on after his death. King David even invited him to sit at the king's table, the little boy, and, you know, honored him, you know. So our good deeds follow us for generations. You know, I work with men and women who battle addiction. And, you know, they're very closed off, and the hearts are, you know, not open, and it's hard to, you know, get in and sit down and talk to some of them and everything. And, you know, they're very leery of, you know, letting someone in, and you know, but our good deeds are, you know, when we're helping someone like that, helps them open up to help them start their own testimony and everything. And you know, I know in my own personal life, good deeds do not go unnoticed. You know, I started going to church here 2017. You know, I was coming home from Beth Colony Mercy from an addiction facility where I battled alcohol for 30 years of my life. And, you know, it was tough, you know, adjusting to a Christian life and then trying to adjust back into regular day-to-day life. And, you know, when I say good deeds do not go unnoticed, you know, there's a lot of things that were missing in my life. You know, like when I got home, you know, my home was needed repairing. Grass needed cutting, had leaves, you know, still from wintertime from where I was at rehab and everything. But, you know, it was hard to ask anybody, and I didn't have a job at the time, didn't have the money to pay for it, but good deeds from other people. You know, I know a guy named Mark Hoover, I don't know if anybody knows him, but he came to cut my grass. Came and mulched my leaves up. Didn't charge me a thing. Later on, he bought a old lawnmower from his dad and said, use it till it dies. I used it for a season until I could afford to get me one. You know, I broke my shoulder and I couldn't even put my shirt on. Couldn't get dressed. And a man named Mac Rutland, I don't know if you know him, said, come live at my house for 3 or 4 weeks. I'll help you get dressed. I'll even help you wash your hair. Took care of it. Just like he did his own wife at one time. Lady across the street from Mac Rutland, named Julie Moon. I don't know if you know her. Cook meals for us a couple times a week to make it easier on Mac. He was even taking me to dialysis 3 times a week at 78 years old. You know, when I come home from rehab, I didn't have a driver's license. Had to go to driving classes to get a driver's license. So lay them. I know, who's teaching children right now, took time out 3 or 4 times to bring me to church or take me to classes. Those good deeds do not go unnoticed, folks. You know, I lost my mother before I went to alcohol and drug rehab. And she was very close to me. My mother and I, we had good conversation together and talked. I didn't have nobody to talk to when I came back home. I was still trying to work things out with my own family. But a lady named Becky Gray, I don't know if you know her or not, took time once or twice a week to talk to me like a mother would talk to her own son. To help him get through his problems. And just to be there for him. She's got a husband named Alan Gray, who, when I had eye surgery, he couldn't drive for a couple weeks. Took me to dialysis. But you see, good deeds do not go unnoticed. So when I talk to people that battle alcohol and addiction, one of the biggest questions is, folks, okay, so I find me a church. And, you know, what are they going to think of me? How am I going to adjust? What if I join a men's club? Like you told me, you joined a men's club at Warren Grove Methodist Church. And I tell them about a guy named Mary Finch, who walked out with me one night. I talked to me in that parking lot over there for an hour. Told me, don't worry about my addiction, problems that I was going through in life. But to hang my head high. Keep faith in the Lord. Help someone else. You see, your good deeds don't go unnoticed. They are impactful to people in the worst times of their life. You know, when I didn't have a dollar for groceries, company voice equipment helped me out. See, good deeds don't go unnoticed. Your good deeds do not go unnoticed. That's the whole message today. They impact people's lives every day. You people in this church impacted my life. To where I could go out every day of my life and tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ and how He transformed my life and how He can help transform their life. I don't need what I wrote down here to tell you how I feel. You know, I thank every one of you for everything that you've done in my life. But we have to be active. We have to demonstrate our faith in our life, folks. We have to take the time for someone. Someone who doesn't have someone, or someone who doesn't have a dollar to go to a laundromat and help wash their clothes or whatever. Those little deeds do not go unnoticed. They don't go unnoticed by them, and they don't go unnoticed by God. He's sitting up there on the throne smiling at you because you're doing what you asked. You know, I heard an old joke a long time ago. There was two old men that were walking up into a store one day, and it had a sign on there on the door, and it said, "No help wanted." One man looked at another. He said, "You ought to apply for that. You might be good at it." It's kind of funny in a way. Don't go unnoticed as being in this church, because this church is hiring people. So go out into the world. Tell people about the Lord. Do little deeds. And those little deeds, like with Kevin going down to the nursing home, Helen Elizabeth going with them. Jessica starting up a little quarter jar, you know, for people that don't have a dollar, don't have a quarter for canteen. Those little deeds that we do in this church do not go unnoticed. But if you're not doing those little deeds, you need to get active. Be impactful into someone else's life. Help them transform through the power of Jesus Christ and through your love. Amen.
Amen.
And Ann's going to play just a second, and I'm going to give a little time. If you want to come down, you're going to pray at the altar. If you need just a little bit of quiet time.